We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to it as only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 14, verses 1 through 6, watching him closely. When we look at the pages of the volume of nature, we find that very often things come in pairs, just as Noah brought the animals into the ark two by two. Many times, not always, but many times, the pairs come in contrasts. Some examples from the pages of the volume of nature: sun and moon, day and night, spring and summer, fall and winter, winter and spring, ice in the Arctic, sand in the desert, thunder and rain, spring and bird migration north, fall bird migration south. And Adam and Eve were created in pairs, really. The whole family unit is centered around a pair, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and then the blessings of children. And that hasn't changed. People are trying to change it, but it hasn't changed. The meaning of a family still remains the same. So we've got the Pharisees, chief priests and lawyers here in the text, and we've also got Jesus, the pair, darkness and light. But there's an oddity here. I'm going to read through the whole text right now, and I want you to listen closely and see if you came to the same conclusion that I did. It's Luke 14, verses 1 through 6. It reads this way: "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things." So Luke here just doesn't amplify anything. He just gives us the bare facts, cutting it to the bone. And it's the same stuff we've heard over and over and over again. And in fact, we've just had Jesus criticize, if you were, the daughters of Jerusalem. "How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not." And this has been the story over and over and over again. Pharisees against Jesus. And now we have it again in a very short form and abbreviated. And we wonder, why would Luke write this, especially where we're at? And the answer is, Luke didn't write it. The Holy Spirit did. which just passes the buck. Why would the Holy Spirit write something like this? And there are reasons, and I think really a good one. So let's kind of move through this a little bit. The first verse, it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees, one of them, to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And those who know the ways and means of the Old Testament people say that, they tell us that often on the Sabbath day, wealthy Jews would throw a banquet. And it was kind of, some of it, they invited some people were invited. And it was kind of out in the open. A lot of people could just drop in, come and go, if you were, as you will, and either join the meal or only stand around to observe. And in some cases, it was a come-and-go situation. In this case, some VIPs were there, chief Pharisees and lawyers, very well-educated people and extremely intelligent. And Jesus was invited. And in this situation, he would be the chief drawing card. So being that it was the Sabbath day, they're watching him closely. Now, there can be two reasons for that. We'll get into that in a minute. But as the scene unfolds, it seems evident that this confrontation between the Pharisees and lawyers against Jesus was not nearly as contentious as it has been. And it seems as if Jesus was willing to interact with this group to actually instruct them. So the sparks aren't starting to fly here at all. And if people came to watch a big confrontation, they would have been disappointed. It didn't happen. That's odd. We wonder why. Okay. Behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Now, was this man planted? It doesn't seem like it. Could have been, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he was one of those that was walking by and noticed that Jesus was there and came in and walked up and stood in front of Jesus. And this was a common thing. It could happen. And everybody was watching Jesus to see what he would do. Now, there can be two reasons for watching Jesus. The chief Pharisees and the lawyers, at least some of them, some of them were looking to see if Jesus would heal this man with the dropsy on a Sabbath day so that they could criticize him. But others were watching to see what Jesus would do because they knew he could heal people. And here was a man with a dropsy, so they're watching to see what Jesus would do. They don't say anything. Nobody said anything. They were just watching. And I believe this is why Luke is recording this. So, in verse 3, Jesus answering, well, what is the answer? He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? He asked a question. And there's lawyers here, there's Pharisees here, and others. He gives them the first shot at giving an answer. And amazingly, but they held their peace. They didn't say anything. So this is a, they're undoubtedly here, where were some people here who were not arch enemies of Christ. Not every Pharisee was against Christ. Most of them were. And not every lawyer was against Christ either. Most of them were, but not all. And looking at where this is taking place, it's on the other side of the Jordan River, opposite where Jerusalem would be, or Jericho. Jesus hadn't crossed the river yet. He's close, but he hasn't crossed it yet. So he's still some distance away from the city of Jerusalem, where the chief priests and elders wanted him to go so they could kill him, but he's not there yet. And so there would be much more apt to be Pharisees that were not enemies of Jesus. You know, the further away you get from the religious headquarters, the less chance there is of this animosity coming. It was widespread, but not every Pharisee was against Christ. There were some there, probably. And I believe this is why Jesus reacts the way he does. They held their peace, so Jesus took the man and healed him and let him go, sent him away. No details, just the plain fact. The fact that they held their peace is somewhat amazing. I mean, these were intelligent people, many of them were very, very intelligent people. And the answer to the question is an obvious one. A child could get it. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, sure it is. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And if you got somebody that's having a big problem, and it's a Sabbath day, you solve the problem to the honor and glory of God. The answer was obvious, but nobody gave it. Nobody gave it. And that's interesting. There wasn't anybody that even whispered. It was a silence, the sound of silence. And there were some, undoubtedly, that were waiting for Christ to heal this guy so they could nail him. But there were others that were watching to see what he would do. No animosity. And Jesus treated it that way. He answered by his action. His action was, he took the man, healed him, and let him go. And then he answered the people, most of them at least, which of you, well, all of them, this is common sense, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Which one of you guys would do that? This is common sense. It's pure common sense, and it's biblical. The righteous regardeth the life of his beast. And God loves the animals also. And he's put us over his creation, these animals, to treat them well. And if you got a donkey that falls into a pit and it's a Sabbath day, you pull him out. It's the godly thing to do. It would be very ungodly to let that thing sit there the rest of the day and the rest of the night and then come back the next day. That would not be a godly thing to do. Sometimes a person's actions speak louder than their words. We saw a man one time, I think I've mentioned this one time before, and he had a kind of a wagon filled with vegetables and stuff he was selling that he raised on his farm, and we bought some. And he had his address on there. So if he wanted to buy from him on by his farm, he could go and do that. So we did. One day we went out there, drove out to his farm, knocked on the farm door, and no one was home. And there was no car there or anything. And we thought, well, you know, maybe he's in back of the barn. So we walked in back of the barn. He wasn't there. But his pet dog, an Irish setter, was. And the Irish setter was nothing but skin and bones. He was tied on an iron chain about 2 or 3 feet long. And there were droppings all around the little tight circle that he could walk in. The most miserable dog I've ever seen. But on the guy's truck, his sign, he had Bible passages. He was a Christian until you saw how he's treating his animals. The righteous regardeth the life of his beast, and the one that doesn't is not righteous. So what Jesus is showing here is directly from Holy Scripture. Of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they didn't see it. They saw it differently. They were legalistic. And they wouldn't have missed the Sabbath day. They'd leave their donkey in the ditch, and they'd go to church, and they'd say the right words, but the heart was wrong. Aye, there's the rub. Okay, so now that they haven't answered, that cut them off forever, ever asking the question again, too, by the way. It's a dangerous thing to cross swords with the Son of God, because you're going to lose every single time. So a few thoughts to end here. We know that there was a Pharisee. There was a believer in Jesus Christ. His name was Nicodemus. And I'm going to read, there are 3 accounts in the Gospels, all in the Gospel of John, that mention Nicodemus. And Nicodemus ended up being a Christian, and he was an old man, and undoubtedly there were other Pharisees that were Christian also. They weren't all of the enemy camp. Most of them, yes, but not all. And I believe that's why Jesus is reacting the way he is. So looking in John chapter 3, as I read through with very little comment, because you know this pretty well, but I want you to count the number of times the name Nicodemus is found in the gospel. Let's put it differently. I want you to count the number of times that the name Nicodemus is found in Holy Scripture. And it's only found in one book, and that's John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. God so loved the world that he gave his own. That's not the Gospel, the same writer. And it's found in 3 different places. The first one is in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees, he's a Pharisee, named Nicodemus, number one, a ruler of the Jews, powerful man, VIP. The same came to Jesus by night, all 3 times this is mentioned, by the way, and said to him, Rabbi, we know, we, not I, we, Pharisees, we Pharisees. We know that thou art a teacher. Aye, there's the rub. He was a teacher, yes, but he was more than that. He's the Son of God, the Savior. But they didn't know that. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's the official statement of the Pharisees. They changed. 3 years later, They said, he's doing these miracles because he's in cahoots with Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they changed. But they had it right at first, except the teacher bit. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Whenever Jesus uses that phrase, a real haymaker follows. Except, and here's the haymaker, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, number two, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? And he's not saying that in an accusing manner. How can that happen? No, he's saying, how can this happen? I don't understand it. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That doesn't sound right. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, here comes another haymaker, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Water in Scripture is a type of the Word of God. Water and the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. That's being reborn. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at the volume of nature under the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it pleases, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh from and whither it goeth. The word wind in the Greek is the same as wind and spirit, same as the word spirit. The wind is the type of the Holy Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, number three, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And then he proceeded to teach the teacher. Second occurrence, same gospel, John chapter 7, beginning at verse 45. Then here you see how God crosses swords with the enemy. Then came the officers. The officers had been sent by the chief priests and Pharisees. And they were in the temple, and Jesus was in the temple teaching, and there was a great crowd of people around him, and they were buying into what he was saying. So the priests, the chief priests and Pharisees sent these temple officers to capture Jesus and bring him back. The officers came to Jesus, but when they returned, they didn't have Jesus with them. So then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? We sent you to capture him. Shouldn't have been difficult. You outnumber him, and he's surrounded by people. You know where he's at. He can't get away. Why didn't you bring him back? And the officers answered, never man speak like this man. The big mistake, quote unquote, that the officers made was that before they put the handcuffs on Jesus and led him away, they listened to what he was saying. And they were converted. See the power of the Holy Spirit? He works through the Word. So they came back. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Okay, so they issued a challenge to these officers. Have any of the Pharisees believed on him? Nicodemus said, number four, Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee, said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth any man judge law judge any man before it hear? Doth our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he's doing? Shouldn't we question him and see what he's saying before we criticize it? This is one of them. They said, have any of them? Yeah, here's one that has. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet, and every man went unto his own house. Okay, third occurrence, John 19, verses 38 and following. And you know the context here. The Son of God is dead, hanging on the cross. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, number five. There came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. And you know that when the Holy Spirit talks about night, usually he's not talking only about when the moon and stars are out. He's talking about spiritual darkness. And that's what Nicodemus was in that night that he came to Jesus. But he's not in the dark anymore. He came to Jesus by night then, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Then they took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified was a garden. The problem started in the Garden of Eden, and it's finished in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the garden was a new sepulcher where never man was yet laid. There they laid Jesus, Joseph and Nicodemus. There they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation of the day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So five times in the Bible, the name Nicodemus is mentioned. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five is the number of grace. And here you had a ruler of the Pharisees that was an older person, didn't have much time left on this earth, and he was walking in the dark, and he was converted by the word of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see how things can work out. You see how the Holy Spirit can work. This is an amazing thing. Amazing. You find believers sometimes where you would least expect to find them. And the opposite, of course, is you find hypocrites where you'd least not expect to find them, in the church. But you know what happened in Matthew. I'm in Matthew 27 right now. We're making a point. Verse 15 following. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Barabbas was a murderer. He wasn't in prison because he sang the wrong song in the church choir. He was a robber. He was the worst. So Pilate brought the worst out and gave him a choice. Do you want the worst guy, or should you want Jesus, the best guy? And for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Okay, so he's the judge. He's going to judge Jesus, but Pilate is the one that's on the seat. He's the one that's being judged. What is he going to do? He knows that Jesus is innocent. What is he going to do? He knew for envy they delivered him. Okay, so now is the time. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The person that he loved the most, the one that was closest to his heart, gave him a warning. I believe she was a believer. That's possible. Some people even believe there was a church named after Pilate. So anyway, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas, and you know the rest of that story. But the point is, and then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, one little verse, but how much it says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Well, who would have ever thought that there would be Christians in the household of Caesar, Augustus Caesar, the mighty ruler of the Roman Empire? Who would have thought? But you see, this is the point. See the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is why Luke put the account in that we're looking at. It was not the vicious scene that we're used to seeing when the Pharisees are confronting Jesus. It was a very moderate thing. And Jesus accepted it and taught. Were there Christians among the lawyers and Pharisees?